Acts 8, 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless somebody explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
I think he was a teenager to the Christian message, said, "Look, I've maybe sung the hymns and I've heard these things before, but I want to start with Jesus now." I suppose it's linked to what I was saying earlier. It's not just creedal, but there's a kind of conviction within. It's not just what we're saying, but it's what I want to live, and now's my time. And I felt it appropriate, obviously, to say, "Yes, that's great." But, you know, what was it that clinched it? And he said, "Well, when you were talking about," I won't give you the whole talk, "but when you were talking about I'm precious to God," and I held up a wedding ring and I pointed to the stone and I said, "The diamond's the most valuable, the most precious thing there, and how we're all precious to God." I can't remember the exact talk, but it tugs at my heartstrings when a young boy says to me, he was a teenager, I didn't know I was precious to God. I don't think there was anything problematic in his home background, but it was a thought through thing. This is now for me, because God is there. And I might have not bothered with him, I might have ignored him, but actually the fact that I'm precious to him means a lot to me, and I want to stay on his side. He signed up, for want of a better phrase. Today we're continuing, I think we probably conclude, about how the church witnesses for Christ, how others are joined into the church, and we look at the inspiring story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If you want to follow the passage that Tom kindly read for us, page 1101. It is an inspiring story because you can see then that a deal has been struck. Someone wants to sign up with the Christian faith. The whole of the book of Acts is an inspiring story of church growth. You'd expect a vicar to say this, but I like good news stories of the church. As you look out at the landscape of the Church of England, a good percentage of the Church of England is actually in decline. I think there is a small percent, and it's still a good percent, where churches are growing. And I think they grow for particular reasons. And here in this early story of the book of Acts, the growth of the Christian church, we find one way in which the church grows, by Philip witnessing to an Ethiopian. And my thought in opening up this passage of scripture is that we in our own turn might learn these lessons and be enabled to pass on the Christian faith to others. This is not to the point of what I'm saying, but I've never met someone who I don't mean to offend you by saying, well, I'm not a true Christian. But if I say true Christians are people that want the message to be spread, I suppose logically you're saying you can have people that are true Christians and people who aren't true Christians. They're kind of just Christians. When a spirit gets hold of someone, they'll want the message to spread. And the spirit clearly had got hold of Philip. The church was growing. And it grows through a most unusual route. I have three S's to mention this morning. Just helps me remember what I have to say. Philip was sensitive to the Spirit, he's sensitive to the Scriptures, and he's sensitive to the situation. I suppose once I use that word sensitivity, you might well think to yourself, well, is all this a bit touchy and feely and weak and sensitivity and so on and so forth? It's good if you're a sensitive person. You might well feel onside, but if you feel, well, I don't really believe in all this kind of soft stuff, why would I want to be sensitive to the Spirit? I was actually well helped with someone that described people as either having thin skins or thick skins. Thin-skinned people are people that are probably too sensitive, take things too personally, too quickly. Thick-skinned people are just don't care. The deal is done, move on, that's it. I happen to think in all walks of life we need to be both thin-skinned and thick-skinned. For certainly Philip, as you'll see a little bit later on, went out of his way. Out of his considerable way, he had to be quite thick-skinned to keep up with the chariot in the heat of the day. He was in a desert. He was actually a tough chap. But in terms of this thin part of his personality, he was sensitive to the Spirit. Now, the fifth book of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts of the Apostles, is also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just the heroes of faith that do all the work, it's the work of the Spirit. And you'll see the work of the Spirit reflecting on the sensitivity of Philip to the Spirit in verses 26, 29, and 39. It was the Spirit who arranged for Philip to be in the desert road. It was the Spirit who said to Philip, verse 29, go to that chariot and stay near it. And it was the Spirit who then took Philip away. For Philip, this was actually quite a hard thing. If you read the previous chapter, he was present in a revival. The church wasn't just growing, it was growing rapidly. There were healings, there were teachings, the crowds were gathering. It really was a very, very exciting place to be in. It was virtually crowd control. The church was doing great. Then all of a sudden the Spirit took Philip away to the desert road. Sometimes if we're open to the Spirit's leading, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be given a better time of it. For Philip, he went from a revival to a desert place, from something that was very exciting to something that was potentially quite lonely, but the Spirit was in it. I just want to reflect with you. I wonder how sensitive to the voice of the Spirit we are. You can't be a true Christian unless you're born of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's work that brings you alive to Christ. But once that light of Christ is alive in you, It can be fanned into flame, to change the metaphors, and it can become a rapid bonfire, or it can actually be snuffed out. I wonder how sensitive to the voice of the Spirit we are. Sometimes these things are just straightforward intuition. You're going about your life in a normal, honest way, walking with the Lord in the light of his word, and you'll just sense a prompting. Sometimes you won't even know it's the Spirit. But I wonder how sensitive you are to the Spirit's ministry. Paul later writes about the work of the Spirit that the two are in conflict, the flesh and the Spirit. And it's interesting as to who wins this kind of conflict. I don't know if you know the one about a couple of dogs. As you know, we owned a couple of dogs, and Tucker and Kiltley sadly passed on this last year. Deeply traumatic. We've got a new Sprocker cross between a Springer and a Cocker Spaniel that's completely mad, that helped dry our tears. And actually, fortunately, Tucker and Kiltley get on well with each other. But this chap had two dogs and they didn't get on well with each other. They fought constantly. And the conversation went, well, which dog wins the fight? And the chap said, well, it depends which one I feed the most. It's pretty tough. Dog eat dog, that's where it comes from. In terms of the life of the Spirit and the life of the flesh, Paul says they're in conflict with each other. He actually says they're at war with each other. Depending which one you feed the most, our fallen, frail, flesh-like humanity, or the light of Christ that's been given to us, the Spirit within us, that can be nurtured and raised like any human being can be nurtured and raised. If that spiritual side of us is strong, we'll be more sensitive to the Spirit, to listen to the voice of those to whom we should be witnessing. I suffer from this as much as anyone else. My own suspicion is it's not just the war of the flesh and the Spirit. It's the commodity we all get so pushed for, time. If only we gave more time to the Spirit, we'd learn to be more sensitive to him. And of course, we'll never know the influence we had on people's lives. I don't think I was kind of puffed up and arrogant and thought, oh, what a great speaker I am. But when that young man spoke to me and said I just didn't realize I was precious to God, I actually kind of felt I might have done someone some good. Most of us don't know the effect we have on people. Imagine how thrilled the person who prayed for Justin Welby as a young boy would have been. Imagine if you said your prayers for the Pope. Imagine if you witnessed to Billy Graham. It could be you. You never know the effect you'll have on someone else when you're sensitive to the Spirit and go out of your way to witness. Philip was sensitive to the Spirit. He was sensitive to the Holy Scriptures. I suppose you would say this is a bit of a gift. The Ethiopian eunuch he was speaking to, and by the way, this actually was a transaction. It was a deal that was struck. The Ethiopian decided to become a Christian because he was a leader in the treasury. Church historians reflect that actually the church in Ethiopia might have started through this very person. He's reading the scriptures. And starting from that very passage of scripture, Philip explained the good news of Jesus Christ. Our own sensitivity to the scriptures. Are you familiar with some Bible verses? Are you able to handle stories so that other people can follow them? I often use Romans 10:10. It's a simple one to remember, two lots of 10. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the death, and you confess with your lips that he's Lord, then you'll be saved. So someone will say to me, well, how do I know if I'm a true Christian or not? Well, if you believe this in your heart, and if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, then the Bible says you're okay. It uses complicated language about being saved, but it means you're okay with God because you believe this and you're prepared to confess it. You need do no more than that. The gift of faith has come to you. Or John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. You give presents at Christmas time because God gives us the gift of his Son, for God so loved his precious world that he gave Jesus, that whoever believes in him, the implication being you could not believe in him. You could kind of be nominal about it. Or the Christmas story itself, Matthew 1, verse 21. Mary, please listen well. This child, you're going to give him a name, not your name, not grandma's name, not the godparent's name, not a name you think of, but this is God speaking to Mary. You give him this name, please, because the name is kind of important. It's not something random. It's got a lot of meaning attached to it. In the Jewish language, the word Jesus means Savior. Give him the name Jesus because he will rescue people from their flesh, from their fallenness, from their sin. How powerful Scripture is in communicating the story of Jesus Christ. Philip was sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to the Scriptures, and to the situation. This is why I think Philip was a blokey bloke, a tough chap, thick-skinned. He was told in a desert place where it's really, really hot to get alongside a chariot that wasn't dawdling. And so Philip, it actually says, he ran to the chariot in the heat of the day to get alongside this particular person. Sensitive to the situation, it doesn't mean you're bashing people with the Scriptures, but you're responding to them. Notice that before he starts a sermon, he asks a question. Are you familiar with what you're reading? In business language today and in other walks of life, it's called emotional intelligence, just picking up on the moment. What's the appropriate thing to say, rather than rushing in, bashing in, and then apologizing afterwards? But most of us don't even think to go out of our way to do something, to say something, to pray something, in order that the Christ that's within us might be shared by other people. I'm going to hold a few moments quiet and maybe just to replay some of those thoughts and reflect what the Spirit might have been saying. How sensitive are we to the Spirit? Knowing how to use the Scriptures, not just for ourselves, but for others. And just having our wits about us to respond best to the situations as they come. Perhaps for some here this morning, we want to respond to Christ ourselves and say, I want to be on the winning side with God. I want to be with a church that's growing. I believe this. Just say that in your heart and it will be so. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for those who have not only told us the Christian story, but made it live for us. Help us in our own day, in our own way, to make the Christ who has come into our world live for others, that they too, with heart and lip and life, might proclaim you as Jesus, the Saviour of the world, in whose name we pray. Amen.